this edition of Blind Vine on October 31st, Halloween evening, coming to you from beautiful, chilly downtown San Francisco. We're at the James Flood Building at Market and Powell, the busiest intersection on the west coast of the United States, here tonight to talk about ACB, talk to you, play some music, talk about whatever might be on my mind or on your mind. Come and join us. We'll be started in just a moment. I'm going to tell you right up front that I am so unprepared for this show tonight. It's disgraceful. But it's been one of those weeks, and in chasing around for capital to run Bay Area Digital, I ran into some questions and work I needed to do that I wasn't expecting. It caught me a little unawares. And when I had one program idea fall through yesterday evening, it was difficult to know how to fill this whole hour. Now, if you want to hear me the whole hour, you can do that, or you can call. And we do have some things to present, but I appear a little disorganized or a little unprepared today, I thought I better, you know, like, fess up to it right up front. It makes it easier. I think maybe a lot of people are a little bit in a funny state today. As many of you may have heard on the news, San Francisco and the Bay Area had a bit of an earthquake last night. It was quite a roller, really, from where I was at the time. And my assistant Gene Powell is still here in the office, and I thought I would spend a moment or two describing each of our earthquake experiences. Gene, I think your microphone is on. Why don't you say hello to people?
Hello, everyone.
Ah, that sounds wonderful. They all got to meet you last week as you read the material for the program, and so what were you doing when the earthquake struck?
Actually, I was checking email, and
well, so you were here.
Yes, mm-hmm. I was here, and I thought I felt something move. And I looked at the book on the file cabinet nearby, and it was moving.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I stood up, ready to do whatever seemed appropriate if the shaking became more pronounced. And it stayed pretty much the same.
In other words,
I knew it wasn't a 1989 earthquake, but I kept waiting for that book to stop moving.
Yeah, I know what you mean. No, you know, it's funny. In 1989, I knew within 1 second that this was going to be a very bad earthquake. Last night I had just stood up from the kitchen table. We had some salmon fillets. And I just stood up to go put something in my glass. And I felt this shudder under my feet. And I thought, maybe I better put less in my glass than last time. And then all of a sudden, Marvelina was yelling, "Oh, my God, it's an earthquake." And we had a friend who was having dinner with us. And he's like, "Better get under the doorway." But, you know, it never really got bad up here. I would not have wanted to be in San Jose. I think San Jose people probably felt it pretty good. But for us, it was very noticeable. And it certainly put us on edge for the evening, wondering, would there be aftershocks or you know, the radio always talks about the possibility of a larger earthquake and all that, but so far, nothing else. Seems to have come and gone, which is fine with me. I was hoping you might say if you were here, you never even felt anything. We happen to work in a building, one of the few buildings in San Francisco that was built before the 1906 earthquake and sustained very little, if any, damage. If you were in the building, you'd know why. It's solid. It's a very solid building. But, well, you're bound to feel something in an earthquake. Well, thank you, Gene. We'll get you on here.
You're welcome.
Regularly, and appreciate you discussing it with us for a moment. well, let's see. A couple of things I could talk about news-wise. First, I'll give you the phone number. Area code 888, so it's a toll-free number, 888-881-1998. 888-881-1998. So call this evening, and we would be happy to hear from you. Last weekend, we had the California Council of the Blind convention in Los Angeles near the fires. So from fires to earthquakes, we're going through our California things this last couple of weeks. And in L.A., you certainly would notice the change because of the fires. The air was very humid, very heavy, somewhat smoky, but not in a really gritty, smoky way. It's just something you became aware of from our hotel more than anything else. But the warmth in the air was odd. It was not normal, like sunshine or even overcast, especially at 9 or 10 at night. So definitely some noticeable effects from the fires, and I think that probably the attendance at CCB seemed a bit less to me than at other fall conventions in Southern California. I'm sure that might have been related to the fires as well. In any event, we had an action-packed, fun 3.5-4 days together and got a lot done. I hope that many of you were able to listen to the convention on ACB Radio World, where we were broadcast thanks to the anchoring of Marlena Lieberg. Okay, so that was one event. I hope to hear from some others about events. Excuse me, my microphone is needing to move, and so you're probably hearing that noise. Some other events took place over the weekend that I'm hoping we might get some calls about. And the upcoming, starting tomorrow, is the convention of the Washington Council of the Blind in Spokane, which I'm very much looking forward to and which will be broadcast, at least in part, by Viola Cruz. So that should be a very, very fun convention as well. And Washington is known for its enthusiasm, its love of getting together and making things happen. So I'm looking forward to that very much. See some old friends up there, too. Well, I promised you a discussion about a potentially new, totally accessible MP3 player. And thanks to a newsletter put out by Dean Martineau, I ran across this public source for a demonstration of the MP3 player and discussion of it. I thought that might be fun to present to you today. And why don't we go and do that right now? It was done by a gentleman from the United Kingdom. And if I can get my computer to cooperate here in a moment, we will actually play the broadcast. He did a nice job of doing introduction and does a great interview. I'm assuming that many may not have heard it on the radio, so I thought I'd present it because it's of such a general interest. MP3 players today are something that, gosh, almost everybody carries. And if we could have one that was fully accessible, that would be very, very nice. Let's see now if I can get this to work. I don't know if I can or not, but we'll see. Seems like whenever one tries to do something like this on the fly, it causes problems. However, I'll keep working.
Hi, Cool Tech listeners.
There
Good
we
day.
Are.
My name is Sean Randall. Yesterday, on the 16th of October, 2007, the Royal National College for the Blind, based in Hereford in the UK, where I'm studying at the moment, held a sort of open day where technology was demonstrated and showcased. The RNIB were present, as was a fairly new company which is entered into the VI scene called Sachs Electronics, who have seemingly formed for the sole purpose of manufacturing and selling a product known as the VI Player, which is a fully voice-guided MP3, MP4 player for the blind and visually impaired. I met up with Alan Shaw from Sachs Electronics to discuss the player, and he gave me his views, opinions, and selling points of the product.
It's, in our opinion, the first ground-up player designed for blind and visually impaired users. The reason we say blind and visually impaired is not only is it fully voice-guided all the way through, but it also has a high-resolution TFT screen. So we can create a very harsh black-on-white or white-on-black environment. So people with a degree of sight loss can still actually guide themselves through the navigation on the screen. It has a 4 gig internal flash memory, Samsung memory, so it's a very high quality. But we'll also read up to 8 gig on an SD card. The SD card's been designed with its very own special holder, so that people with poor motor skills and sight problems can actually not put the SD card in the wrong way around. It's a very, very simple to use, feature-rich unit. I know that sounds a little contradictory, but using this unit is as easy as going from cassette to CD. It's easier because it has a one-touch bookmarking feature.
The biggest question that the users have had, I've been speaking to several of them and they're very interested, is your special ports functionality, which keeps the place in a file, yep, even when you finish. Yeah,
it works on every individual MP3 file. You can have a bookmark. We've tested it up to 2,000 bookmarks, so it kind of, you're never going to outgrow how many bookmarks are on there.
Yeah, of course.
And that works whether it's an SD card that you're plugging in, it'll go back to its bookmark, or alternatively, any MP3 music or audio or book file can have a bookmark.
Okay.
And it's one touch to do it.
And what sort of formats are we supporting? MP3, obviously. Anything else?
MP3, AA, so it's audible ready, yep, in the box. And every player will come with a free 3-month audible subscription.
And a discounted annual one, of course.
And a discounted annual one, as for the new website, which will be up shortly. It will also support DAISY. Unfortunately, it's not full navigation DAISY. It's not all 6 layers. Really, this unit is a music and audio book player.
Right.
But it's more for your linear experience, yeah, starting at the start and ending at the end. It's not there to replace DAISY, and it's certainly not there for reference text.
No.
It'd be very difficult.
It's more of a pleasure.
It is.
Leisurely.
It is.
Okay. Battery life, how are we talking on that?
Okay, it's a Nokia 950 milliamp hour battery, straight out the phone, which means if anything goes wrong with it, someone can go down to Currys and buy a new one.
Yeah.
It's not soldered in, it's just straight in and out, easy to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
14 hours.
14 hours playtime.
14 hours playtime with backlight.
With backlight.
So that,
wow,
can go up if you turn the backlight down to 15 seconds, power off.
Okay. And your speech, does it announce battery level? Does it?
It announces battery low at 10% and battery critical at 5%.
Okay.
The first set of instructions for this are embedded as the first MP3 file. What it tells you to do is as soon as you hear battery low or battery critical, press the bookmark key.
Yeah.
The reason you must press it, and we had quite a long chat about this, if you were listening in bed and you fall asleep and your battery fails, if it created a bookmark then,
you wouldn't know where you were.
You could be 6 hours ahead. So it has to be physically done by yourself.
Okay. Headphone speakers?
Headphones, yes, comes with.
Mm-hmm.
Speakers, we have some external speakers that will be available on the website,
right,
which will plug in. We also have, I'll put this in your hand, this comes with your player.
Okay.
That's a very small external aerial.
It is indeed.
If you're listening to your FM radio, and you don't want to listen because your speakers are your aerial, you plug that in, put it on a tabletop, and that comes in your box.
Okay.
With your player.
So this it's an FM broadcaster then, I thought.
Yeah. And you can record from your FM radio.
Wow. Sounds really good, doesn't it?
It's
fantastic.
It's a nice unit, and we've spent 12 months working with the RNIB and Calibre, but more importantly working with blind and visually impaired people. There's an awful lot of units out there that have been designed for blind people with no input from blind people. Again, it's available in a yellow gold colour and a very dark grey. That came from research that the younger generation want dark grey.
Mm-hmm.
The older generation like the comfort factor of having a yellow player that's been very much designed for them.
Okay. And it transfers via USB, I'm assuming.
USB 2, yeah. So it's relatively high
quick,
speed.
Yeah. Okay, can you give us a sample of the speech?
Yeah.
Make
sure we got the right one. So we'll just power this up.
Yeah.
Welcome. Main menu, music.
And then you scroll through in the full voice guidance.
Audio, radio, photo, ebook, record.
And then you've got
file, setup.
So you've got a full range within the menu.
Music.
But as sub-menus, if you go into music,
play.
Everything you do while it's playing
is
confirmed to you. So
volume up, volume down.
Okay.
Forward.
Next track,
If we go into the next sub-menu.
Yeah.
Repeat.
So we're in
Equalizer.
Yeah.
Normal.
Pop. Rock. Classical.
Nice.
Jazz. DBB. Normal.
Okay.
Equalizer. Repeat. Normal. Repeat one. Repeat two. Random. Normal.
It's got a shuffle as well.
Repeat.
And then we're
back into the
normal music.
Okay. Ebook. It said.
Ebook really is, when we talk about ebook, it's a text to voice.
Right.
We've had software specially commissioned for this unit, which converts PDF, Word documents, HTML, into a .sak file, funnily enough, for Sax, and then uploads it into your player.
Okay. So what have you got in your setup then?
We're working with a company called Seropros at the moment, up at Edinburgh University, for a higher quality voice. We started off with Mike from Microsoft, which no one likes and drives everybody insane. We're now. Let's just go into it. So this is the.
Play.
That's the standard mirror,
Okay. It's a bit noisy in here for that.
Yeah.
What it does mean is that there's the ability for people to have everything accessible that's accessible
in
on a PC.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it actually puts the wording up in 16-point sans-serif on the screen.
Really?
In a harsh black and white. But if you're with someone who's... this came up... If you're with someone who's sighted and you're listening, they can read it as you go along. So, again... And also, it works for adult literacy.
Yeah.
There's a big help in learning to read there.
Okay.
All in all, we're very pleased with the way it's been received by our target market. Everybody seems very pleased with what we've done. We couldn't have done it without the help we've had from not only the major charities, but blind and visually impaired people. And we're hoping that it is the unit everybody takes to their heart as a good leisure MP3 unit.
So it does look like an interesting device. It's fairly small. I haven't got precise dimensions, but certainly a similar size, maybe a little smaller, certainly no wider than my Edrol R09 portable audio recorder, sort of thing that would fit in a pocket. It's got very tactile, very distinguishable buttons, and the screen is large and very contrasting. The text seems to be quite readable. Now, as to the feasibility of such a device, it doesn't seem to play any of the open source audio formats, such as Ogg-Vorbis, which is one of my preferences at the moment. It doesn't seem to support any sort of text documents. It doesn't tend to have, as far as I can ascertain from the brief, very brief look that I've just had, it doesn't have any text-to-speech capabilities per se. Text conversion, which is a feature briefly discussed, seems to simply be a rendering of electronic text into a self-designed audio format, which also displays text on screen, as Alan mentioned. sounds to me very similar to DAISY, which is something the RNIB employ for their audiobooks, something Freedom Scientific and Dolphin are also quite big on. Now, DAISY books can have audio, text, or both, which sounds very similar to what this audio format, SAK audio format, they're discussing. Really, it sounds quite similar to that. The battery life is average, I suppose, compared with a book courier, which doesn't use rechargeables, although can. Contrast that, of course, with a standard MP3 player. I've got a Samsung IPU1 1GB player, which has a rechargeable battery, which does me about 16 hours without needing a recharge, 16 hours per time. Of course, it's not voicing. There's no indication of the battery status or options or anything like that. But it is less usable. Even with a directory structure, I find it quite usable. 4GB internal memory is quite impressive for a player. It's flash-based, of course. 4GB hard drive would be completely ridiculous. Power consumption alone would be mammoth. So 4GB flash is not bad. The SD card slot also lends a useful feature. And, of course, the buttons and the screen, I think for someone not very technically comfortable or with coordination or dexterity problems or with other difficulties may find it a very useful device. As a personal choice, it's not something I would use for the simple reason that it doesn't support these open standards. It's not a complete voice solution is my problem, I think. If I wanted an MP3 player with speech, I'd have it reading ID3 tags and all sorts, because why not have on screen what they have? If they can see the title of the track, I think it's something we should have access to as well. It's certainly been done. The book courier, for instance, although it doesn't fuss over the ID3 so much, the book courier is a perfect example, and the book port are a perfect example of how easy it can be to integrate text-to-speech hardware in small devices. I've no doubt that smaller technology still than the book ports and courier uses can be used. There are many companies offering that sort of service these days. A Linux distribution system running completely via flash-based memory was announced today on one of my RSS feeds. I read the news this morning. That was a complete computer system with audio, with graphics and such, not using a hard disk at all. It's a completely silent setup, which is quite impressive. If that sort of miniaturization can work, then there's no reason text-to-speech cannot follow suit. So, we talked about pricing with Alan. Here's what Alan had to say. Pricing, £175, eh?
£175? Yes. I mean, bearing in mind, you get with that a 1GB SD card.
Yeah, a 4GB internal memory.
4GB internal memory.
Yeah, which is a big seller, isn't it?
It is. I think it's a size that's usable without drowning it. It's less expensive than anything else on the market. It is a low-volume product, so it's very difficult to price it at a very low level.
Yeah, of course.
We're only making several thousand of these at a time. But no, I mean, if there are organisations through their procurement office who order in bulk, then they can get a better deal for their members.
Okay.
We're always willing to talk. We want as many people using this unit and having the enjoyment of music and audiobooks as we possibly can.
To summarise then, the VI Player costs £175. At time of recording, that's about $356 US dollars, €250 approximately. Of course, if they sell abroad, which we don't know yet, prices may vary. These are only rough guides to exchange rates. The website for the player. Now, I looked at this last week, and the website www.viplayer, as in viplayer.co.uk, was up and running. Not very helpful, but up and running all the same. However, it seems to be down as of this afternoon. Whether or not they're revamping it to add more information, I don't know. So I think the best thing to do would be to keep your eyes open for news. If you are interested, check out your search engine and other news sources. And hope
the www.viplayer site is now available, and you can certainly go there and have a look at it. And we have our first call of the afternoon. Hang on a moment. Good afternoon. Welcome to Blind Vine. Who's calling?
Oh, hi there, Mr. Chris.
Well, Charlie.
How are you? Well, you're on the radio.
I'm on the radio, and I'm very glad to have you as a guest.
Well,
there's plenty of things I could ask you about.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. I have a feeling you're hearing two conversations at once.
Yeah.
And let me get that taken care of for you now. That probably is a bit more comfortable for you.
Well, and I'm just wondering, you can probably tell your audience, too, how was the CCB convention?
Well, we did talk about that a little bit. CCB was a very good convention. We had elections, as we do every year. We got through the smoke and the fires and all that.
Good.
And we have two new members on the CCB board, Donna Pomerantz, a name which I think you'll recognize.
Yes.
And Ken Metz.
Ken.
Who is well known to Californians and to some extent around the country, but certainly to Californians.
Yes.
So those two new members have joined the board, and that will make for some new dynamics, and we'll see what we can do in the next year or so.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. We're having our regional convention here in the East and the D.C. area this weekend.
Yes, I wish you would tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a novel experiment, and I hope it will be successful. The ACB of Maryland, the D.C. Council of the Blind, the Old Dominion Council of the Blind, the National Capital Area Chapter of Council of Citizens with Low Vision, and the Maryland Area Guide Dog Users are all joining together as sort of sponsoring organizations coming together to have a regional convention at the hotel where ACB did its President's Meeting and Legislative Seminar last year.
So you've got quite a few people coming.
Yes, we do.
I'm a little surprised at the venue, but other than that, it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, well, the idea is to bring enough people together so we would be able to fill a reasonable room block for the hotel,
mm-hmm.
and also be able to have sessions where we could have breakout sessions and numerous breakout sessions
mm-hmm.
on Saturday. We will have sort of plenary main sessions in the morning, and then we will have breakouts on Saturday afternoon, and the banquet on Saturday night, and the new ACB president, Mitch Pomerantz, is going to be our special guest, and will be our banquet speaker on Saturday night.
Very good.
And then a number of the organizations will have their own business meetings on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the schedule. On Friday night, there's supposed to be a major celebration. We're calling it a celebration,
mm-hmm.
after which there will be hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try to do a quickie Old Dominion board meeting near the end of the celebration.
Oh, dear.
So
if you do it near the end, it might be quick. It might be long.
Well, no. I think that an incentive is that after the celebration, there's going to be hospitality. And so I know one of our board members is running the hospitality.
I see.
So I think the hospitality will be an incentive for us to get our business done in good time on this board meeting.
Right. Okay.
So
that sounds great. Are there any particular program items you'd like to highlight?
Well, I think we're going to have a presentation by the state agency where they do a public hearing on the state plan. Rehab plan.
You know, and every year that's done in New Mexico.
That will happen
and
Sunday
I think
morning
it's
near the end, just before lunch.
Okay.
And lunch will be a box lunch.
Okay.
And I think also there will be, in the breakouts in the afternoon, there are actually four different time slots in the afternoons, and each one will have three different possible breakouts. So there's going to be a lot of discussion about employment, how to find a job, how to write resumes. There will be technology and assistive technology. There will be, I know, a breakout in the afternoon about the legal rights and responsibilities of blind people, and so it's going to be a very varied, wide ranging set of breakouts on Saturday afternoon.
Well, it sounds very good. Sounds like a pretty exciting program.
Yeah, and then, of course, on Monday, after this regional convention is over, ACB is sponsoring a reception in Washington at the DoubleTree Hotel in Northwest.
Right.
Where the ACB president hopefully can meet people from different organizations of disabled people.
Right.
And also government officials, including, hopefully, some members of Congress.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's going to be taking place on Monday from, like, 4:30 to 6:30.
Right, right.
And so that's another important meeting that will be a sort of a follow-on for President Pomerantz to the regional convention.
Very good, very good. Well, I think those meetings are very important. Not only the regional meeting, but for the president of ACB to have those kinds of interactions is critical when you can do it. And it's great that this has been put together, and hopefully it will help in the weeks and months to come.
It's going to be a very interesting and challenging weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And as one of the presidents of the hosting affiliates, I'm going to have a challenge of presiding over this quickie board meeting on Friday night, but also our business session on Sunday morning.
Right, right.
So,
well, very good, very good.
Yeah, it's going to be a terrific weekend, I think, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I have you on the line, Charlie. I might mention, because it's on my mind, you being the president of NELDS and so forth. We will have the NELDS, the National Education and Leadership Defense Service, will have a board meeting on Tuesday, November 6th, after which we'll give a report to folks listening to Blind Vine, and hopefully have some exciting things to tell you about what NELDS is doing at that time. A lot of what we've done...
What time we set for, Chris? 9?
8, your time. 8 o'clock
eight.
Eastern,
eight my time.
5 Pacific, 2 Hawaiian.
Okay.
So that is all set up and ready to go. NELDS has been, from my perspective as treasurer, busy trying to organize the financial affairs and trading a lot of paperwork back and forth. You can expect some coming your way soon, Charlie, and I won't bore everybody with the details right now, but there's more on the way for you to sign and return.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, we are seeing this more and more throughout ACB and other nonprofit organizations. The kind of paperwork and the requirements that banks and other financial institutions are imposing, allegedly anyway, and perhaps more so, because of Homeland Security and other difficulties, is becoming very difficult to deal with, and is really beginning to be an impediment.
Particularly since we don't do transactions of more than $10,000, which is what I think they supposedly are most concerned about.
Well, when you see this paperwork, you won't believe it. I mean, all the things that have to be signed and countersigned and... Allegedly, this is being brought onto the institutions through Homeland Security, and what can we do? We just have to live with it and hope for the best.
Yes.
Well
good. I won't hold you up.
Way. Charlie, thank you for calling.
Yeah, we got a chance to chat, and hopefully then we can maybe give you a report back on our regional convention.
Well, I hope you will. That would be wonderful. You know, about, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we did a feature with Donna and Bob Seliger about your timeshare. in St. Martin.
Yes.
And they gave a great... Well, it's too bad. They gave a great description of it.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to comment about St. Martin before I let you off the line here?
Well, St. Martin, I've been going to St. Martin now for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful place. It has... It's an island that during colonial times was divided between the Dutch and the French.
Mm-hmm.
And so you still have today a Dutch side of the island and a French side of the island. And they are two separate cultures, the French, of course, being Catholic and so forth, and the Dutch being Protestant Reform.
Exactly.
Dutch
exactly.
Reform. And politics and religion has kind of melded rather interestingly and strangely to some, in some ways, on the island. And, for instance, on the Dutch side, there is the leaders decided very early on that as a sort of a supplement to their tourist industry, that a big attraction for drawing tourists was going to be casino gambling.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'd just say supplement. There's plenty of it there.
Yeah. And but on the French side, the French, the Catholic establishment said, no, never on
yeah,
casinos.
Right,
we don't believe in gambling.
Mm-hmm.
But on the French side, they have nude beaches.
Yes. Yes.
And even call girl services.
Oh, my.
And so forth on the French side, which are not present on the Dutch side. So figure.
Yeah, that is funny. And you know, it's amazing how you do go from one culture to the other. You sense
yes.
that a great deal when you're there.
It's yeah.
a lot, it makes it a lot of fun to,
yeah,
to
it
be
is.
On
and,
the island.
The resort that I have a timeshare at, I was able to buy three units in consecutive weeks in September,
mm-hmm.
In the same building.
Yes.
And the great attraction of this building is right on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And you can literally sit on your balcony or whatever and hear the surf. And I think the Seligers might have indicated that they would they could open their door at night and listen to the surf.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's
you
the
couldn't
great
be much closer to the
it.
Ocean without having the foundations on the sand.
That's right. And I think it's a great place to go. I always like to go, and it's hard to leave when I go.
Yep.
And
yep.
Over the years I've built some connections and friendships there on the island.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's a great place to visit on when you go shopping. The major town on the Dutch side is Philipsburg, where a lot of cruise ships come in
right.
to visit. And on the French side, the capital is Marigo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On the Dutch side, the practice is that you are supposed to bargain or barter with the owner. So when you go in, they'll
Charlie,
give
hold
you
on
a...
1 second, if you would.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Blind Vine. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Chris. It's Eli.
Eli?
How are you?
I'm doing good, but I need to call you back if I can.
Oh, sure. No problem.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, Charlie. Sorry about that. I thought
so
we might have another caller on the line, but we didn't,
uh-huh.
and I'm back to you.
Okay. There's basically, when you go in, for instance, I like to, when I'm there to shop for jewelry and so forth, when you go into a store, they'll show you a ticket price, and you're expected to bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, you can get the owner down to somewhere like maybe 60% of the initial ticket price or
exactly.
Or, tag price they
yeah.
showed you.
It's quite amazing, really.
And it's an art, and you and so forth. And I think sometimes that while you're sitting at the counter bargaining, they will serve you like rum or rum and coke or
mm-hmm.
whatever you want, because because they want your judgment maybe a little impaired in this bargaining process.
Well, I don't know about impaired, but they want you to feel more willing to part with your money, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so it's interesting. And I oftentimes will bargain and just say to the owner, "Nah, that's still too high. I'll think about it a little bit and wander down the street here and see what else I can find."
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. for it then. And you know, but I might be back. You know?
Right, there you go.
And that's the kind of bargaining that's done.
Well, Charlie, we had a wonderful time there, and I would encourage anyone to consider, you know, taking advantage if you ever decide to put one of your weeks up again for an ACB auction.
I will do that because I believe that blind people should have the experiences of a top-notch resort, and
mm-hmm.
I know this year the Seligers won the bid for this week, and I'm glad they're telling people it really is as advertised.
Oh yeah, oh it certainly is, is. Well, thank you again for the call. Appreciate it.
All right,
and join us again in the future. Thank you.
Bye.
And you're listening to a little bit of Caribbean music on Blind Vine. Charlie got me back in the mood, and what could I do but play a bit more for you today? Well, I was talking about the MP3 player. You can go to www.viplayer.com and read more, although you learned about all you're going to learn from that interview that you heard earlier today. The concept of an MP3 player, I think, is good. The difficulty, of course, is that the price is fairly high. It will probably be as expensive, close to as expensive, say, as a Victor Reader Stream. And that makes one have to stop and really consider whether or not you want to spend your money that way. On the other hand, there are format differences for the stream that you might want to take into account. The stream is primarily based on the WMR2 standard that NLS is using, and has some weaknesses with regard to playing a lot of other standards. And so, many things to be considered when you buy a player. Sometimes I just want to pick up something and hear music. I don't necessarily want to hear a book at that time, and maybe for that, an MP3 player would be a lot of fun. But then you can think about all kind of other things too. iTunes compatibility, and on it goes. An MP3 player may be a moderately low-tech item these days, but when you have to think about the decisions, it's not all that low-tech. Briefly, let me mention the Board of Directors meeting of the American Council of the Blind held last night. The board was very, very pleased to hear from our Executive Director, Melanie Brunson, that ACB, in the last few days, received another bequest, this one for $100,000, and the board, after considerable discussion and thinking, elected to place $75,000 of that bequest into the board-designated reserve, and the other $25,000 into ACB scholarship funds. So I think that's a very good situation, and everybody on the board seemed quite happy to do that. We're getting near the end of the year, and our financial picture continues to be very positive, very, very much geared toward a good future for 2008, maybe even beyond, depending on, of course, how things go each year and the ability of the ACB thrift stores to thrive and continue to improve as they have so far. Okay, well, be sure to look at the acbradio.org webpage and find out how to listen to those covered events of the Washington Council of the Blind and the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind over the weekend. It may be that you can hear a discussion about GPS technology, in which I'll be a participant, on Friday afternoon at the WCB convention. We're going to teach people a little bit about GPS and how it works, and then take about 20 kids out on the street, high school kids, not 6 or 7 year olds, and experience what GPS is all about. We'll have the Sendero unit there, the Trekker unit that I'm basically in charge of from Humanware, and the unit from Freedom Scientific on Packmates. So that'll be a lot of fun, and you might enjoy the discussion about the units that'll be held indoors on the radio as far as I know anyway, on Friday afternoon. I don't know the time, so I can't tell you that. Also, we have the presidential debates on Friday, and I'm sure you'll hear about that or see comments about it, and so that would be worth taking in to some extent as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, at this juncture, we've gotten to the end of our hour, and being disorganized didn't make it too difficult today. Thank you for bearing with me and understanding that sometimes working for yourself, things happen as they happen. You've been listening to Blind Vine on ACB Radio Mainstream, the voice of the blind community. Thank you so much for joining me today, and we'll see you again, same time, same place, next week on ACB Radio.